This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, what's better than having three trainers sit down with me at Vision 2022 and record their very candid conversation? Not much. It's Carm Capriotto, your pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, be a fly on the wall as we discuss hybrid training, student assessments, and even breakout teams. Now, my panel shares their experiences, and together, we push the boundaries of training in our industry. Hey, thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing you this episode. Hey, Apex 2022 will again feature Repair Shop HQ with you in mind. That's right, this one-stop destination is to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of shop owners, managers, and technicians. It's all happening at Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Now be there. Listen here for registration information. It's coming up. Okay, you just flipped through a pile of papers to find that invoice where your customer waits impatiently. Now talk about not good use of your time. Well, you need a digital shop management system that makes you look super smart on the web at GetShopware.com. Hey, welcome everyone back to the 2022 Vision Studio. We have been rocking and rolling with some just incredible podcast episodes for our industry. Thank you so much to Vision for having me back here again. There's so much going on. After 2 years, we're back live. And I have a group that I had on 2 years ago. You playing grab ass here? Or what are you guys doing here?
He'd be on the floor if he grabbed mine.
Oh, my. Well, what's to come? It was 2 years ago. I had these guys in the studio. Dave Hobbs from Delphi, Borg Warner, G. Trulia from ATS and his own shop out in Mayo Pack, New York. A great friend who does the big event each and every fall. And Peter Orlando, a trainer at CTI, right?
Correct.
And one of the biggest memories I took away from Vision 2020, I never turned on the recorder.
No. That's right.
For you guys.
And just like hearing our stories, that's what it is.
And so we're 15 minutes in or 10, 12 minutes in. And I looked, and I just sunk, and I said, guys, I'm sorry, can you repeat the last 12 minutes? And the professionals that they are, they said yes, and then you nailed it. So if there was a blooper reel or a blunder thing that I ever would like to talk about, that's it. Well, look, they're all trainers in the industry. You're all here because you're training here at Vision. And a lot has changed in the last 2 years, guys. Oh, my. What are the people coming up to you and saying, you know, it's great to see eye to eye, Peter, and gee, I need a hug because I haven't had one in 2 years. I mean, what does opening our world back up again mean?
I think they're happy to be back. The feedback that I had, a lot of people coming up to me, they're glad to see us in person. And I think it's good. Sherry did an unbelievable job here getting people to come out. And I think it's a different way of learning live compared to what we're used to the past 2 years. So it's really good to be back live in something this big. I've been doing live classes, but they're masked and they're minimal size because of restrictions.
Sure.
They're easier for the techs and the trainers. If I try to put together something that should just be an easy thing to do on Camtasia to submit to a virtual training class, which I'm doing actually this weekend, I should have got it done last week, for something coming up later this month in Canada. They're still locked down, at least compared to what we are. And it's a lot of work. If you're not used to doing that, if you're not your own shooter, editor, you know, and all that, that's a bunch of BS. And to try to compress it into 12 minutes, that's very difficult. You guys know me.
Why wouldn't Delphi provide you that pair of hands, that tech person to do this, the video person?
I think everybody is stretched thin.
Okay.
I went to get food last night. The Wendy's just across the way here was closed at 9:30.
Yeah.
You cannot get people to go to work these days. I almost thought I'd miss the second coming, the rapture, a couple months ago down in Florida for a convention. My wife and I are looking around. It's like 9:10, something like that. And it's, everything's closed. Did we miss the memo that they went in their lockdown or something in Southwest Florida? Nope. Finally found a Chili's that was open, and we asked what the deal was, and the guy says, we're having management in the kitchen cooking. The auto repair industry is hurting for people. The parts industry is hurting for people. You can't get people working fast food. I mean, it's very challenging right now.
Did you see an article recently that Target announced their minimum wage range with the top end in the bigger cities being $24?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we can't get people in our industry.
Yeah. It took a lot for my wife to get out of Target. She was working for Target for a while after coming out of the grocery store. The amount of hours that she could have worked really taxed her. It overloaded her. When she was there a few years back, her top pay was $15 an hour. In North Carolina, they were offering her $22 for the same job.
So the deal here is this, Dave. You've got to do all this work this weekend. So you're going to probably earn, what, 24 hours this week per hour based on how hard you work?
That'd be nice.
You should go to Target.
Yeah.
And you get time and a half, and if it's a weekend, double time.
Yeah.
We should maybe not be afraid or scared, if you will. What we need to do is pay attention that the world around us is changing so rapidly.
Yes.
I mean, think about inflation. You don't want to move a labor rate. You don't want to increase, you know, your parts margin a tweak. You're doing a disservice. Now, we're not here to talk about business leadership and acumen, but I can't help but drop that pointer on someone to say, if you're not paying attention to every aspect of your business, you're in some deep trouble. You happy we're back live, Peter?
Oh, we are. So happy to be back. I've had students text me, call me. Can't wait to see you at Vision.
Yeah.
I think I'm just happy to be out from behind a monitor. I really am.
Yeah.
And back in front of people, you know, once again in person. You can't beat that interactivity and that just that good feeling that you get with just watching people's, you know, body language.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Carm, you used to do live radio, didn't you?
Yeah.
I did too for just part-time for like 11 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. And little bitty station, and you never knew how many people were listening. And you didn't have the interaction. You're talking. There's dead air, you know, that's awkward. But you just didn't know how you're being received. That's how distance learning is.
Sure.
It is. And it was so good yesterday to be in a room with about 150, 160 people or more. To see faces, I love walking around. When I'm doing something on camera, you don't know what they're thinking out there. You have no clue, no matter what you do. You're not getting that same interaction.
You don't get the interaction. Dave, going back to the radio thing, I learned many, many years ago from one of the top guys that I actually worked with is every time you flip that switch on, remember you're only talking to one person.
Mm.
It's not you all glad you are all here. No, I'm glad you're here. And that person that takes that, if there's any message to any video people, he says, hey, you're all out in the audience. There's 40 or 50 or 100 of you. No. Thank you for being here is the methodology.
That was the message, yeah, you do know with distance learning, if you're doing Zoom or, you know, GoToMeeting webinar, whatever, there are so many people. You see some familiar names. But, yeah, the expressions and all that, it's very difficult to do. If you turn the camera on, you get too many people turn their camera on. You get way too much somebody yelling to their kid, pull your blanket pants up.
The dog in the background.
The dog barking, yeah. Doing the Al Bundy with his shirt unbuttoned. Yeah. And you know.
What breed was that? Nice dog.
That was a Doberman, baby one.
All right, this is the energy I want for this show. Perfect.
Don't do it, Joel. Please do not.
You turn mics off and sometimes cameras.
Okay, a hybrid training. Part of the discussion that I heard was, I want audience feedback, but it's so clumsy for me to go and get it that I almost need a mini producer hanging out and learning and looking and feeding me this stuff.
Well, we've had moderators, and that's big help.
Yeah, moderators.
Yeah, big help.
You guys do moderators?
We do. Doreen's my moderator.
Okay, cool. Oh, you got to put the wife to work. You pay her all that money. I forgot to say that we have a guest. We have a guest in the studio today, Sarah Warner from Dorman. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
They're a great sponsor of the Aftermarket Weekly Show, where we do the live shop tour every week. So thank you for being here. And I know you and G do so much training together, and that's really good news. Hybrid train. What's Carquest looking at, Peter?
Well, we had started with an instructor on screen, and we always had a minimum of two people with that additional instructor because we wanted to make sure we covered all the bases with regards to the delivery of the class and made it so that if somebody's internet went down, the moderator had the exact same presentation, could have followed along and picked up right wherever that instructor may have lost, you know, his internet connection. And it did happen on occasion where somebody had to, you know, pick up the slack and just run with it. Okay, you know, Peter's internet looks like it, you know, went down, so we'll just pick right back up here on slide 13. Yeah, yeah. The class went on, and it was delivered to the best we could deliver it. And then, of course, the extension of what we did put a boatload of equipment in front of the instructional staff that work with us. And God, they're a great crew. We have a bunch of instructors from, you know, coast to coast and up to Canada that basically were able to set up a hands-on studio at a garage, a school, wherever they were working from. And if we needed to put a hands-on component to it, and we had an instructor doing the class from, let's say, I don't know, California, they could cut to, you know, Kevin in Chicago or Missouri, and he had a setup with a vehicle, yeah, with the camera and the switcher, and whatever we were talking about on the, what we'll call, static content, sure, we can now prove that out on the car, demonstrate that point.
Hey, Carm here. Now, coming up, should the trainer be moderator, facilitator, and allow attendees to interact with each other? You know, you put your heart and soul into your work every day, but the automotive aftermarket, it moves fast, and staying competitive means staying up to date on the very latest training, new systems, and new products. At APEX, the Automotive Aftermarket Product Expo, Repair Shop HQ is dedicated to the service professional and is committed to pulling together some of the best training sessions to grow your technical and your business knowledge. The training is especially for technicians, service advisors, and owners. And inside of Repair Shop HQ is Joe's Garage. Now, Joe's Garage is set up with 10 bays and working lifts to demonstrate new equipment and the latest technology. Besides the latest tools and equipment, discover the newest in management and marketing tools and dedicated sections for tires, alternative fuels, diagnostics, and telematics. If you experienced Repair Shop HQ last year, you'll get even more in 2022. Hey, listen here for the latest information on APEX 2022, November 1st through the 3rd. Write that down. And for more information, visit aapexshow.com. Now, housing is already open, and registration will open May 2nd. Visit aapexshow.com. You know, when you started in business, did you really think that cars would be driving themselves and that people would be buying cars online without even test driving them? Well, I don't think any of us did, and yet that's exactly what's going on. On the repair side, the auto industry is changing fast. Customers expect quick answers and proof that they need the repairs you recommend. They want to pay you while buying a coffee and then rate you on Yelp after picking up their keys. So why stay in the past? A shop owner named Carolyn asked herself the same question, so she created an online shop management system that automates the stuff you do over and over again. She and her team added texting and every step in the process from booking your appointments to posting that stellar review. They learn from their customers just like you learn from yours. And it's the system that's leading the industry into a bright future. Check it out at GetShopware.com. Please tell me I'm right or I'm wrong. Listen, let me show you. And then it takes about a minute and a half to move the camera to get over here and say, oh, the lighting's not good, and the lighting come on. And the student is sitting there waiting for the I show me, and you lose them. They take a drink of their beer. The wife or the kid comes in. They do something different. And to your point, I remember watching a CTI, and it was Chris Chesney before he left, showed this group of people what you guys were working on, and it just seemed to be a seamless way, you know, practiced and rehearsed and then directed and was sure that every shot was there and on time.
And that's the important part. Virtual classroom worked very well for us because of the work that went into the pre-production of that class. Yeah. Our lighting, the, you know, where we set up the car, how we set up the car, the camera angles we needed to capture, you know, to make it, you know, and as interactive as we possibly could. And the amount of questions that you get from that, because now you have an audience of, like what you said, we can't see them, but oh, they're definitely watching, because they said, could you back up? Could you do that? Could you repeat that one more time? I want to see where you put that wrench, you know. And
that's your affirmation. That's your applause.
Yeah, that is.
It worked very well for us.
People were paying attention.
And if you set stuff up correctly, like he said, pre-production is important.
Yeah.
We use a switching board, and when we're doing a lunch and learn, a Dorman lunch and learn, we make sure we have something on vehicle. That way it's just not a slide thing. Yeah. They actually get a feeling, oh, that's how you move that widget or do this or that. That's an important key in this type of learning. Now, depending on a particular client, you know, when you just go through slides, I always call that my vacation. I always rather do, you know, slides and bring people out to the shop and do it. Now, depending on your time frame and what the client wants, if you set it up to have some of those live things on vehicle, then I think the training becomes that much better.
But it's time-consuming.
Really, it's time-consuming, and it's
the My Vacation
money.
Slideshow, which the guys get bored, but they like the interaction. They like being together. They can ask questions that they might not normally ask or even figure out. I actually got admonished once. Brandon Steckler does a great job. He was doing some WorldPAC classes, and he was getting a lot of input. Like, okay, hit the Y button for yes or the N for no or whatever on the instant interaction. And I go, I'm going to start doing that. Interact. Let me know you're there. And somebody text me or whatever, instant message me and said, when you're using a tablet or iPhone or whatever, it's hard to do that and watch the webinar at the same time. So I have to watch pushing them too hard and making them feel like they don't know what they're doing because, you know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that's a good point. So when you have people watching on a phone or something, and I use that, give me a Y, give me an N, for a long time, and a number one or number two, whatever, because you don't want them to type a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
But when you find out some people are watching on a tablet, it is not that easy for them because now they're losing part of the video as the keyboard pops up and it becomes a production.
The Zoom controls are off the screen.
They're off the screen. Yeah.
Now,
it's.
I want to pose a question to my two colleagues here. You're doing a great job, Pete, with the virtual training at CTI training headquarters. Are you incorporating elements of that into your live classes now that we're starting to get back into the... at least at conferences. I'm not in the back of the parts stores yet. Yeah. You're not either. I was for a little bit in Texas earlier this year, or last year, actually. Then that went away with the Omicron or whatever. So now we're back to just conferences only, but hopefully we'll get the parts stores opened up where we can do our training. I think that makes the PowerPoint in the parts store conference room a whole lot better if you've got some of the elements of what you've done with your virtual class.
You know
the
what I like?
Tremendously.
You know what I like about what he said? You know, again, the video, the switch, the computer, easy. Switch back, and now they're actually showing it to you.
Well, you can if you've got enough RAM in your laptop, you can put a lot of video
right.
into
oh,
the
okay.
PowerPoint.
So forget about doing it live. Create it and record it at the training center, and then bring it up and show.
Right.
I see.
Which beats what I'm planning tomorrow morning, which is none of that. It's all live with hands on. I've got an aquarium that's going to have three fuel pumps in it and like half a gallon of lamp oil as a media as opposed to starter solvent, which I don't think the hotel wouldn't like into. Yeah, it's flammable. So the lamp oil is not as flammable. And I'm going to use that. I'm going to have a three-phase fuel pump driver module. And I'm going to show the waveform of a three-phase brushless DC fuel pump motor because that's a big game changer for techs diagnosing three wires going to a fuel pump. Normally has two. And it's a lot of work to set up an aquarium with a quarter full of liquid and you know, a battery and a scope and all that and put a camera on it. Now, the scope automatically goes up into my laptop on the projection screen, but for the actually to see the aquarium, depending on how many people signed up for the morning class, some top fuel tips, it could be, you know, I got a studio lamp with me and all that. So my hotel room, I'm prepping for it. It looks very strange if housekeeping comes in and sees a movie studio set up, an aquarium, and three fuel pumps in it. Like, what is this guy doing?
But that brings
Please
up the
call
point.
911.
Yeah. When he's trying to do this on the road, in a parts store or wherever you're doing it, let's say a hole or whatever, you don't know what the internet speed is like. And I've been in that situation multiple times. Mm-hmm. You're out somewhere and you go, hey, you got good internet here? Oh, you're not a problem. Can't get on.
Yeah.
And that's when you want to take those live clips that we do and stick it into your PowerPoint to break away for two reasons. One, someone's going to get sick and tired of hearing us speak. Okay, and there's an attention span, I think you guys would agree with me, of about 2 hours on a webinar. You know, then you start dropping off, depending on the subject. Sometimes you can get them out three and a half hours. But if it's you just yakking slide after slide and you're just going on with the same thing, there's no break to hear something. And we've tried this in a diesel class we did for Dorman, where I had Pete do the voice. Now, it stinks when Pete does the job because when he teaches it, it's his voice again. But it's nice to break away with a different voice. And some of the videos obviously have my voice in it. And when someone else is doing it, it gives the instructor a break, gives them a chance to refocus, to look at the chat, even if they have a moderator. Some moderators are not technically savvy, let's say, okay?
Right.
So they may not know what, oh, should I ask you that, Dave, you know, about your aquarium? Where's the little fish? You know, there's no fish in it. They don't get it, right? So I think you you need that little break where they could actually say, hey, here's a little video we're going to play. Yeah. I did one with Bernie Thompson in it on the networking one I did. I asked Bernie for permission and go, Bernie, can I use that little clip that you gave me years back? I said, yeah, I gave it to you. Use it. It went over really well. And if you could stop it, oh, I'm sorry about that, but if you can stop it, bang, you could actually.
Somebody just rode off the road.
Well, thanks,
they thought they ran over a dog.
She looked immediately at me like, oh.
No cannoli for me.
That was Tracy's voice.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Like, let me change the subject just a little bit and talk about audience assessments. A QR code up on the screen, and it goes to a Google survey. Really easy to do. And you ask maybe three or four questions of the guests as they're pulling in and getting there, and you introduce yourself. Says, if you've not done this, go on there. And there's 3 to 4 to 5 questions with maybe multiple choice, yeses or nos, or, you know, ABCs. Specifically, what are you looking to learn in this class? And maybe there's, you know, 4 or 5 pointers that are coming out. The first one you want, how long you've been in the industry, and you get this profile. And you're standing there, and everybody's doing it, and you're looking at your Google receiver, and it's building the chart. And you can see what this room makeup is about and what people are here to learn. Well, if you find out what the key component is, and you know you're covering 4 or 5 of those things, but 39% of them want, instead of 25, you know, 4 different topics, want to hear about this, it may move you as a trainer to concentrate a little deeper on that one particular element, because you know that there's a whole bunch of people here that really want me to slow down and concentrate on this. And then finally, is there enough room for, I shouldn't ask a second question, but tell me about the Q&As that you guys are doing today. Tell me how you feel about assessing the audience.
I like that idea.
That's an important component of it.
Which brings me back to, it was Heather, I think, instead of Sherry. One of them, when we signed up, yep, they sent emails that, would you like to use that service? I forget what it's called. And it's like, you know, does that require the hardware? No, this is new with your cell phones. I've seen this at the Collision Industry Conference. It works very well. But there's moderators. There's people helping with that. I almost signed up to do that, or just do it. You can do it on your own, I guess. You have to have good internet, good cell phone signal. That's a game changer. I've not tried it yet. I'm game. I just need an assistant.
I used it last year, 2 years ago. That was the Socio app, I think.
Yeah.
That she asked us to. Yeah, when they came in, they just logged in on their phone. So when I got to a question in the wiring schematics class, they were all able to answer it, and all the results come up on screen. Yeah. And it does. It gauges, you know, where your audience is at that moment in time, and where you're going to be going. The questions were in their book, but I said, don't worry if this is going to go off the screen.
Yeah.
You have the questions in your book.
Now, that's so you a can great answer. Point he yeah. just brought up. So yeah. Last Saturday night, Pete Meyer and myself, we did a Motor Age TST video with the questions with the QR code. Only problem is questions were not in print like you have in your book.
Yeah.
So people had said, I can't do it, I'm on my tablet or whatever,
yeah,
kind of gets them a little bent out of shape.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when Pete tried something else at some other point, not last Saturday, he had something that kind of shows who answered it right or wrong. And I said, oh, we're going to alienate people. You know, if John puts his name in there and he gets it wrong, he's not going to like that, because they're behind that wall, per se.
Yeah.
So he took that out, and it seemed to work pretty good, other than the complaints. If you're on something mobile, mm-hmm, a tablet or a phone, it's not as good. So I think I like what CarQuest does with questions in the book, and say, hey, if you guys can't do that, why don't you put the question in the book, and maybe you could put a number 1 or 2 for the answer, or A, B, C, D, whatever the case may be. And that's the way we'll gauge you. The analytics are good on it, and it does get them involved. And that's the big thing. You want to involve.
There's the engagement.
Engagement.
They own the class at that point.
We did it a half a dozen times, and I was surprised. That was the first time I've ever done that as an instructor in the field. I couldn't believe the results, number one, and how many of them wanted to participate in it. You couldn't. They couldn't wait till like they saw that they could now interact with the class and answer the question on their tablet or their phone. So it just goes to show us that we have tactical learners, we have visual learners.
Mm-hmm. and hang on, one big issue there is called delay. That's one of the things you got to really understand.
Yeah.
If you're on a particular service that has a delay, you got to get used to asking a question. It's going to be dead air there for a bit. So you may want to yak and say, okay, the question's out there, guys. The question's there. Who's going to answer the question? They may not hear that for 15, 20 seconds or more later. That can throw an instructor right off if they're not used to that.
You actually have to slow down and have less content.
Ah, you hit the nail on
that. Oh, that's a killer for me.
Why? Why?
I'm like that kid that packs all those clothes. You know, there was a commercial for our weather forecast years ago. Oh, yeah, I've got the parka and four hats.
I'm going to Orlando. Gloves. Pack my vest.
Yeah.
And my Cubellini, because, make it a little cold. Right?
It goes without saying.
I've learned if I'm going to do an hour program, I need maybe 20 slides.
That's not a lot.
Well, I mean, no, 20 is the most. If I try to do 30, 40 slides.
Oh, I see. 20 slides in 60 minutes. I mean, yeah.
Well, it all depends. You can get one slide and stick it up and yak for the longest time on it. If you have the experience behind that particular class or studied, if you didn't write the class, you could really speak to it for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just did that yesterday. I brought something pops in my head from something we just did in the shop. And something up there triggered that in my head to go, hey, guys, we just had this and that in there. And you could go on and on with it. You do have to watch your time. You know, there was an instructor here that came up to me, Keith, and he was disappointed in himself. And I know he did a good job. He does a very good job and works for you guys. So Keith Perkins, good instructor, good young guy coming up. And he said, I didn't have enough material. I said, well, Keith, how many slides did you have for 4 hours? And I think it was 150 or so.
That's a lot.
I said, you know what I do with that? I'll put more in. Because if you got a dead crowd, and doing this for so many years, you need to know you may have a bunch of duds in your class. They may be afraid to answer any question. I walk the room and go, you know, I don't want this guy to make a puddle on the floor. Peter, you know what I mean? If he doesn't know, I got to move on. But you want to keep it going. And if you don't have any material there and you can't pull back, and Keith, being a mobile guy, he could come up with tons of stuff. And I told him, I said, I know you can do it. I've seen you teach.
Oh, yeah.
You're very good.
Yeah.
You just didn't time it outright. Sometimes you get nervous who's in the class, whatever.
Yep.
Forget who's there. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just do your gig. And
you know, that silence.
Silence is bad.
Yeah, the Darlin brothers, you know, off the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
You know, the dad and the daughter, Darlene, the only one that talked. All the rest of the guys, like, they said, stoic. Yeah, stoic. Why are they stoic? Are they stoic because it's over their head? Or because it's boring, it's beneath them, or there's been no leaders to light off the beginning of discussion. And then you have to moderate. It's almost like driving a stick shift, clutch and gas. With the leaders, they may talk too much and get other people talking too much. And we're just talking live training in that regard.
It's cool and breaking the ice.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't break the ice with a question. You know, sometimes you don't want a nuisance in there. Some people, you know, they're going to ask questions every second. But sometimes, like they said, you get someone to ask one question. Now the room starts opening up, and then you get another question over there. And depending how you answer it, like even if it's wrong, you got to be careful to go, hey, Peter, that was wrong. Because now everyone's going to go, I ain't going to do that. I don't want to say I was wrong. Okay, maybe. You give them a maybe or something. Anyone else with an idea, you got to work the room.
Yeah, I do that.
Yep. It's working the room. And you're talking between us here, too much experience. Yeah.
Well, in a live class, you don't typically start a class with raise your hand if you're here.
I love it. Hey, is that Catholic school again?
You're on virtual classroom. And just to make sure that you still kind of have them engaged and who's there, obviously we know who we let in the room, but again, we don't have that facial interaction. We can't see if they're paying attention or not. So every once in a while, I'd say, do me a favor. How many of you have run into this problem that we just discussed? Please raise your hands in chat. There goes that dead space again. But they'll go,
yeah.
He's asking a question. And they'll answer. They'll put their hand. hand up, and at least we know they're still there.
On purpose, or are you just trying to keep them engaged?
Oh, no, no, we're trying to keep them engaged because if you do that once early, they're kind of looking for it again. Once you hit them with that a second time, that becomes that, I call it a hook when you're teaching. You have to know that they're there. And I think it's important because you don't have that interaction. How are they going to identify that something may be coming up? And they already downloaded the digital version of the book. So we know where we're at in the slide deck.
Right.
So we know what's on what's in their books, if you're properly prepared as an instructor. So you'll ask them, listen, on the bottom of page 9, there is a tech tip there. What do you think? If I was to check that with a scan tool, why would I have to hook up the fuel pressure gauge? Think about that for a second. And you let them think. Let them think through it. Put your answer in your books. Anybody have any questions on that before we move
on? So you're talking your live training, right?
Yeah.
Virtual
classroom.
Virtual classroom. So these people are on the web watching.
Correct.
Participating. And so they've got a PDF that they've downloaded and opened up.
Yeah.
How are they opening it up? I'm finding a lot of techs don't have three monitors like Nerd here on this end of the microphone does.
Yeah, you do too. Good question.
And they're on their iPad, they're on their phone. How do they pull that up and watch that? I'm just thinking that's almost futile.
Yeah, well,
I would agree with you.
But there are some hardcore guys and gals that will print it out. They'll have another monitor, another tablet or whatever, and they'll be scrolling. And they go, I see Peter's on page 15 or Dave's on page 42,
Dave,
whatever.
Think about that. You know, if they print it out, and some guys have contacted me after a web class and go, well, I got to download that thing. I wasn't sure where it goes. You got to explain to them where a download goes. If they don't go to their desktop, where to find it. And now they go, oh, my God, there's a lot of pages to print. That's going to cost me a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you can go to a public library. Some of them will allow you to print X amount. You may not get color, but you'll get it. Or like Dorman did, supplied it for quite a while. And it depends, I guess, on a client. Sarah would know more than myself about that. But I think it's better if it's in front of them. I number every slide, and I remind them when I start a webinar, look, over here is a number. Get yourself a pen, a pencil, and a pad, because if you like something I said on slide 56, you want to write down, I need to look at slide 56.
Great idea.
Okay? Yeah. And if I don't look at that, I'll have a problem. Another good thing, thanks to Dorman again, I give away a lot of free T-shirts and hats because I go, if you get the right answer, and that gets them going. You know, guys love the free shirts.
Mm-hmm. And Osmos and gadgets.
Yeah.
And we get the email. We send it over to Dorman, and Dorman will send it out to them. So that helps. And I would like the rest of my guys that do the Dorman classes as well to start doing that, at least two or three a class to get more people, more interaction.
Case studies, team interaction. I mean, I know it was a huge crowd. Gee, I get it. But was there a way to take four people in the sections of these tables and say, listen, we're going to do a really cool experiment for 15, 20 minutes, open up the page. They all get the same damn case study because it's tough to get that many case studies. You can't make them all different. And you ask them, you don't go around the room picking out the person at the end of 20 minutes. But you pick out a team. This is, you know, team A, team B, team C. And, you know, what did you discover? How'd you find this stuff? And you could walk them through that. But now the next person doesn't know who they're going to get picked. So they're always at a level of high attention while you go around the room making it. And so you take four of these in particulars. You go through them. They may all be the same, have different answers. But it energizes the room and it engages people to meet other people. They're just saying, well, I never knew Johnny, and Jay, he's from a different town. You're helping that whole networking
thing. It helps in a way, but there's an anxiety builder there. So some people come to a class, and you know why people don't sit up front? They don't want you to call on them. Mm-hmm. And I tell them in my class, don't matter. I'm going to go to the back.
But that's why you put four people together, because somebody, you got the chance, will be the lead.
It's not a bad idea. I just think a lot of techs don't want to be called on. I mean, I have my training room.
But they want to learn.
They want to learn.
Do.
I have my training room set up in a U on purpose. Mm-hmm. I could walk down the middle. They all look at each other this way. Mm-hmm. And I could walk behind them.
Sure.
And I tell them, look, there's no such thing as a stupid question, only one you don't ask. And don't worry if you don't get the right answer. If that guy thinks you're an a-hole, he's a bigger a-hole than that dude, right? Just don't worry about it. And you got to get them into it. But if you see them shying away, I'm not going to keep picking on that guy because he does not want that involvement. He wants to be there at a certain level, but not the level of, you're putting me on a spot, buddy. So you don't want to alienate him, in my opinion. It's not a bad idea, but this alienation.
Got to have compassion on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just seen him in Chris Lewis's class like that.
But, you're not doing it to alienate anybody. You're doing it to challenge the think.
True.
I agree.
And to see what they learned from the last...
It's a fine line between being that drill sergeant that breaks their spirit.
But, okay.
We don't have that time. We have 4 hours.
So let me throw this... Let me build on that one more time. I'm going to build a hybrid of the idea. Instead of four, you do five. You got a better chance of finding someone in the five that may talk. But as you are a legacy trainer, you know if which one of those in the group got a ton of five men, lady panels. You got a ton of them. You can go around the room and listen and observe. You know the ones who could be called on, who are willing to speak. You know who could make that final piece of discovery work because you've worked the rooms over and over again.
I see where you're coming from, Carl, but I'm going to tell you, in a big environment like that room, not the place to do it. I'm going to tell you why.
So let's talk about 50 people and then divide them up into...
You want to talk maybe 20 people.
Okay, great.
Okay, 20 people, good idea because it's more homey. You feel close to this particular person. But in a big group like that,
okay,
you got to read the crowd. If I see people getting up and walking, I'm doing a lousy job.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to happen. There are some people that are going to go to the restroom or whatever and may leave. If you're dropping people off, you're not engaging them, okay? A big room like that, if you took the time to go and say, Dave, you know, you five people here, and Peter, you five people there, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have dead space that you wouldn't believe in, dead air, and you're going to lose people. Those people that are involved in the five group, they're okay. But the other 150 people, they're going to be lost. They're going, I ain't doing anything.
You know where that really works well, in my experience, with breaking up into groups, is, if, like you said, a little smaller, maybe 40, service advisor classes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to do role play.
Exactly. It's hard to get techs to do interactive stuff if they're wrenches. That's why they're wrenches. They love being, leave me alone, let me fix the car, and after work, then I'll get together with my buddies, go fishing, hunting, or drink beer, whatever. I know I'm stereotyping, but that's kind of the way it is.
Yeah, they have a love affair with the vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, and there are folks that would love that interaction and get a chance to be like the lead, the captain, so to speak, in that group chat, and you challenge them with a wiring schematic or something to revolve around a diagnostic process that they're using in their shops now. That gentleman or lady that takes that lead would love to transfer that knowledge that maybe they have, their wisdom. They become the mentor of that group. The next time they come back into class, they're actually looking forward to that little interaction with this person. And it might just become... That person might just become a contract instructor.
Yep.
My mentor, Armin Hines, may rest in peace. Armin was a real smart guy and a really good speaker. And he said, you know what? You want to get people involved? When you start the class, ask people, where are you from, Peter? What do you do? And, I'm a BMW expert. And he wants 15 minutes. The next guy is barely going to say his name. He's like, you're going to pick on me to say my name?
Yeah.
And you'll see a lot of that. You could then use those people and pair them up. And I did this with, you've met Pierre, obviously.
Sure.
And I did that with Pierre in a class where we had someone who was a real introvert and needed the help in going through these hands-on classes. And Peter knows, you know, these classes we're talking about. He's from New York when we did the ATTP training years back. And when you can pair someone up like that, that's a small group.
Yeah.
You try to do that in a big group. It's just unruly.
Well, I agree. There's some kind of hybrid version of this concept.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the concept's good.
And I'm not the official trainer here, but what I'm empathizing
we'll
with
give you,
you
a job.
is this knowledge transfer and how sticky can the training be in the minds and the hearts of the people that are there? I mean, that's your job.
We've done it with diagnostics when somebody writes something down on a piece of paper that we've asked them to do. And then we say, okay, give that to your neighbor. person to your left, please give it to your person on the right. And now they look at each other's like they're highlighting. Did they highlight the right grounds? Did they highlight the right B+? And now we're not critiquing. We're just going, why did you select that? What was the main reason? What was your thought process behind that? And then all of a sudden, the other person sits there and says, that's what happens in my shop a lot. And then you kind of figure out, is there a reading comprehension problem? Do they understand power flow? Do they understand conventions in wiring diagrams?
Do they speak English?
Yeah,
of course. Do they read English?
There's a language barrier.
True.
You can get more interaction with the class by having those little exercises.
Yeah.
I've done it before. They do work in smaller groups. Snap-on taught me well back in the day when we were doing... there was no such thing as everyone looking forward at the instructor. Everyone looked at each other. That's the way it worked.
And that's interesting.
Like there was two tables, and they were all looking at each other.
That's why I do it that way.
And and the trainer was up in the front, but he could have just as well went right up the middle and went to something over here to interact with. And
trying to become the moderator instead of a lecturer.
Yes, exactly.
I like that.
A facilitator. That's, you know.
But when I can get those to work, I enjoy the class, and they do as well.
But I like the fact that you would pick a moderator from every little mini group that you created that would work. And who knows, G, maybe in competition with everyone. And I'm not saying you want to create a competition.
No. And it's good. And that, you know, that works in my Electra class, believe it or not.
Sure,
I team people up like that.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'm in that U. That's how my classroom is set up.
Sure.
And I'll pair people up. Or maybe even in a lab scope class where I'm controlling a signal before we go out in the car.
Yeah.
We're doing buttonology first. I'll put all the Snap-on guys together, all the E-scope guys, all the Pico guys, and now they're going to help each other. Oh, yeah. I don't know how to use this new Ortel scope. You got to put them together and make them work with each other.
He's an
expert on this.
Got to get creative.
Got to get creative.
You have to get creative as an instructor. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, look, I so enjoy this. I know we went to a million different places, but I love to do that because we have given our listener their money's worth.
Oh.
I'm worried that I won't get a meal next Saturday night.
Behave yourself.
Oh, man.
He's already passed the test. He pressed record,
I feel like I've been at a trainer session. I don't need to go to the automotive training manager's council down in Atlanta now. I've already been here.
Peter made sure I pressed the record button. Oh, my.
He's going to break your finger, he said.
Be nice or I'll jingle my lanyard at you.
It's Christmas time again.
Oh, my God.
No, this was fun. Thank you for inviting us.
Peter Orlando, CTI, G. Trulia, ATTS, the big event coming up in the middle of March. Dave Hobbs, Delphi Technologies, brought to you by Borg Warner.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.